welcome to our very first recording of the Nerd Grounds podcast. I am half of the show, your co-host Jacob, and here with me is my best friend and co-host Blake.
Take two. I'm watching you now.
This is take two. We just put in about 7.5 minutes to where I realized our microphones were not plugged into the laptop recording, and we might have had a little bit recorded, and now we're having to restart. So here So here we go again. Like I said, this is the Nerdgrounds podcast, and we are here for all nerds and not nerds alike.
Well, not nerds.
Yeah, we want this show to be for everyone. If you're not a nerd, please listen. I guarantee you'll be entertained, and you might be curious and want to look up a couple characters.
Right.
And
yeah, they can listen to
read. And, yeah, they could listen to Blake. This is for everyone. We want everyone to be involved.
So this is the Nerdgrounds. It's basically a podcast for nerds from all sources, all types of nerds. It's not just comic books. While it is our main focus, we are working in like characters from movies, like whether it's horror, action, sci-fi, fantasy, TV shows in the same genres, or anime, or video games too.
Yeah, video games and movies. And we're basically going to be doing a bunch of different games, having some fun with it, you know.
Game scenarios.
We might have a couple interviews here and there, just a couple reviews, different things.
Basically just debates and us arguing with each other.
Yeah, we like to get drunk, maybe a little inebriated and have some arguments. I mean, this all started with, you know, Blake is an active member in the United States Air Force and just got home from a deployment. He's currently stationed in South Dakota, but is home on leave right now. I'm very fortunate to have him here with me for this first recording. But this all started, you know, he was on a 6-month deployment in the Middle East, and we'd be, you know, talking.
I suggested a podcast to you, and that was started like, hey, it would be kind of cool if they did this, this, and this. And then it got kind of out of hand with all the ideas that we just needed to start writing them down. And it was like, I think we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't actually capitalize on all these ideas that I think are pretty good, but I might be a little bit biased.
I definitely think these are some great ideas we've got coming up, and it would be a disservice to everyone, to the entire public, if we didn't make these, you know, available for everyone to listen to some of our conversations, because we'd sit there for an hour or two sometimes just, you know, talking about the most randomest things, for, you know.
This, random is going to be my favorite word in this podcast, random and chance encounters and everything. I think that's what we're going off on. Just so much fucking randomness.
It's going to be a madness. Our first episode, I know, is going to get crazy. Because we're going to be playing a game I like to call Civilian Six. We're going to be bringing six fictional characters into today's civilization. It's not going to be so much of a fight as to who is going to be the dominant in the end, where Blake is going to be debating three different villains, bringing them into society one at a time. And I'll be bringing in heroes one at a time. It will not necessarily be a head-on-head confrontation as much as who is going to be, you know, if Blake can fuck shit up or...
Basically, he's going to be trying to convince me that he didn't just fuck up the world.
Blake is going to be trying to fuck up the world, and I will be thwarting his nefarious plans.
So what the selection process of this game is, we just threw names into two hats, one side for good, one side for bad. And we had to look at it in black and white as much as possible. So these names came from literally anything we can think of, not just comic books. But so, for example, I won't say my characters yet, but I have three different sources on my characters today, and I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, we sat there on the phone for about an hour a couple weeks back just trying to think of as many names, rack up just as big of a list as possible.
Hey, did you think of this person?
Yeah. Oh, hey, have you written this person down? No, thank you. That's a great idea.
Because I'm trying to go obscure as possible on this one, too. I'm not just going to pick the obvious choices, which I am, but I think it's more fun to just pick out the weird characters.
I mean, I definitely think we got a good variety. I mean, I think when I counted mine, I think I had close
to got Gearhead over here behind me. I mean, he's kind of a pussy, but...
No, I definitely did not put Gearhead in my list of heroes.
Well, he's not a hero. He's the kind
he
of
He fought nice. In the Gear Wars.
Yeah,
he
but he...
The Gear Wars.
Yeah,
you
he's
heard about
he's...
Blake, before we get started, have you heard about the Gear Wars?
We're not going to spend like 50 minutes talking about the Gear
I
Wars.
I could go on and on about the Gear Wars.
Oh my god. If you don't know, Gearhead, he's from Rick and Morty.
The great, hilarious show, Rick and Morty.
He's a villain, by the way.
He's not a villain. Alright, we're getting out of hand. We're getting distracted. We're going to go back to the game. Civilian 6 is what we call it, and I guess we can go ahead and get started.
Do you want me to bring in my character first?
Is that what I definitely think we're going to be starting off by bringing in the villain, and Blake is going to be trying to ruin everything as much as possible. He's going to be talking about why he thinks his villain will come into the world and ruin as much as possible, do everything he can. And
all three of my characters are hell-bent on destruction. They will not hide at all. They're coming for... Well, just destruction out of nowhere. I was going with that.
Well, I think that's a great... I think that's great because that's going to fall into my plans perfectly. And for those of you who don't know, Blake and I have no idea who the other one has. His three characters I have no knowledge of, and he has no knowledge of my characters. So we basically just had to do as much research on our own, do as much reading and searching every scenario where we think, you know, depending on what can happen, hopefully we've got an outcome and... something we could do to stop the other.
I think it's pretty obvious what the outcome is going to be. I think the world is going to be destroyed.
Well, you think that because you're a dick. And if...
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out about that very soon. And at the end of this, we're going to be posting a poll on Twitter, both of our Twitter pages. I'm at Nerdgrounds, and Blake is at Nerdgrounds, BRG, for big... red.
Are you having trouble right now? Don't hurt yourself.
Shut up. Okay. Big red.
Just stop. Do you want me to just introduce my character already?
Yeah, just go ahead. We're going to go ahead and get started with round one. And Blake's going to introduce his first villain. Go ahead and get started.
My first character is coming from DC Comics.
DC Comics. Who would it be?
He's kind of an asshole, to be honest. But I didn't choose him. But I got stuck with Garfield Lens, a.k.a. Firefly.
Oh, all right.
To give you a little bit of background information on Firefly, he is a serial arsonist. He's the most professional serial arsonist there is. So, the suit he wears is his own design, equipped with the obvious flamethrower that he just loves so much, grenade launchers, incendiary devices, and he is also a jetpack he has a jetpack, and he's an expert in flammable agents. So... he loves to burn things, so if he gets introduced in the world, you can bet that he's going to start burning things right away. He will not be hiding about this. He's going to be extremely blatant, violent, and he's going to be killing people. Burning stuff down.
Okay.
A little more information about him. Yeah, 90% of his body is covered in burns.
Oh, so he's a burn victim himself.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic.
That's very ironic. It's like
a little bit of a tragic character. I mean, he came down to burning down the whole city of Gotham, so he's pretty good at what he does, unfortunately.
Well, maybe not if he, you know, burnt up his own self.
That's why he has a suit, because...
safety first, right?
Well, yeah, he learned his lesson. He's being responsible about burning down buildings now.
Being responsible about committing arson and, you know, burning down other things. I guess I could see that. I could see that. Okay.
So, yeah, like I said, if this character exists in the world, he's going to start burning down stuff immediately. He's going to see a building, his mouth's going to start watering, that building's going down.
Alright, so you're basically saying that Firefly is going to come into the world and just light everything on fire and destroy as much as possible is what you're arguing.
He is hell-bent on destruction.
Hell-bent on destruction, I like that.
He likes fire.
He likes fire. I like fire too. I used to light action figures, WWE action figures in the back with lighter fluid and... dry grass and
you're a psycho.
Melt them. Yeah, it's not something my mother liked when she found out that I did, but I was a disturbed child.
She kept on having to buy you new toys. That's why she didn't like it.
No, I had plenty.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. They burnt them all. It was a big melted... the smell of burning
plastic.
You're
just combining them, really. You're melting them.
I'm consolidating my
toys. Okay, we're talking about Firefly right now.
Let's go back to the Firefly. You know,
I keep on forgetting background information. I'm terrible at this, but...
first episode, and I'll cut you some slack.
But he got his expertise from working as a pyrotechnic in the motion industry. But that job didn't last long, and he fell into poverty, which turned to petty crime, which turned to serial arsony. And that led to him trying to burn down a chemical plant. That's not a very good idea. And that's what led to him having 90% burns, covering 90% of his body. That's how he got the suit. He made the suit, and then he designed his own flamethrower, and there you have Firefly. I chose Garfield Lens because that seems to be in the most popular depiction of Firefly. Because I know there's several different versions of this Firefly character. But Garfield Lens seems to be the main one.
My question is, what kind of profit do you get from burning down a chemical plant as a criminal who's down on his luck? That just doesn't seem like he's the most smartest of villains running around in Gotham.
That was for pure pleasure.
Pure pleasure. Whatever. All right, here we go. Is that everything for you, Blake?
Hey, yeah. Introduce your character.
That's okay.
And then we'll talk about how they interact, and then we'll move on to the next round.
All right. So my first character is someone from the Marvel comic. All three of my characters are from Marvel comics.
Loser.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. That's all I need.
I have nothing against Marvel comics. Yeah. I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah.
Continue. Well,
yeah, you're going
to
be the one.
You have my permission to continue.
You're going to be the one getting the shit here, buddy, because my first character is none other than Benjamin Jacob Grimm, a little man we call The Thing.
Ooh.
And, yeah, The Thing is also known as the heavy hitter of the Fantastic Four, the original team of Marvel. I mean, they've been around for forever, and The Thing is, you know, the muscle of the team.
Of course.
He was a former security guard, astronaut, test pilot, high school football player, college wrestler. 6'5", stands at 6'5", now with his covered in rocky bodies, now 500 pounds.
Badass.
You know, he started off with a really rough life. He was abused by his father, and his really only positive family member was his older brother Daniel, who was also the leader of a Yancey Street gang. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're pretty, you know, pretty famous street level gang in Marvel Comics. Appeared in Spider-Man, Fantastic Four a lot. Yancey Street gang. They hang around New York City. Yeah, that's his most positive influence. His family member was just the leader of this gang. Older brother Daniel. Cool.
Got role models.
Yeah, Ben loved his brother, and he really got messed up when his older brother was killed by a rival street gang. Ben was only 8 at the time, so that kind of messed him up. But within, you know, years of, he had grown to become, to take the mantle of the leader of the street gang himself after that, and he kind of took it as initiative and wanted to follow in his brother's footsteps.
I'm not worried about a gang leader.
Oh, well, you should be worried because, well, the leader of the gang, his parents died, and that led him to live with his uncle Jake Grimm, a successful physician. And after some time of living with him and resenting him, he soon learned to love his uncle and appreciate everything he was doing for him, eventually reformed and leaving behind his gang life, entering high school to become a star football player, and where he eventually got a scholarship in the state university, where his freshman roommate was none other than genius Reed Richards.
And he's all right.
Yeah, Reed Richards is known as a kind of smart guy in the Marvel comics. And soon they became best friends, and Reed confided in Ben that he had planned on building a rocket ship, where Ben made the jokingly comment that he would pilot it. You know, oh yeah, built this rocket ship, I'll go ahead and fly.
And this led to him being...
Yes, this led to Ben, you know, soon after joining the United States Air Force, where he became a skilled pilot, test pilot, and eventually he became an astronaut. And on the day Ben left the Air Force, Reed actually approached him and reminded him of the promise he made when he would pilot the ship that Reed had actually been in the process of funding and building. And, you know, that led to one unfortunate, I don't want to say unfortunate because it led to some friggin' awesome powers.
I mean, look at them.
Yeah, they turned out pretty awesome, except for Ben Grimm, who was, you know, they went out to space, they hit the cosmic rays, because Reed was in a hot hurry to get this, you know, the government started to shut down funding, and Reed wanted to get out there and get going, and Ben had actually advised him that things were not ready to go, but Reed, before, he didn't want everything shut down completely. He was in a hot hurry. Ben was the one who had the brains and told him not to. So keep that in mind. Ben's got a level head on the shoulders. So they went out into space, and the rest is history. And they come back. Cosmic radiation caused him awesome powers. So part of Ben's powers is he is extremely strong and durable. Part of his feats of strength is he's actually lifted an oil rig. Lifted an oil rig. He stopped an alien spacecraft from escaping Earth. He grabbed that effer by the back and stopped it. Not going out of here. You're not going nowhere, punk. Okay? And if not, this is probably the most impressive, in my opinion. You're not going nowhere. You got 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime.
So yeah, I'd be worried if you're bringing Macho Man Randy Savage into this, aka Bonesaw, but no, you brought the thing, and I think you're just screwed.
Yeah, if we were arguing Bonesaw, this match would be over. You'd snap into a Slim Jim and bust your ass.
That's what I'm talking about.
And back to my actual arguments. The most impressive physical feat of strength from the Thing, I would say, was when he stopped a multiple-story building from falling over, grabbed it, and actually set it back in its place. And for a little bit of an idea of how big that building was, it was 30,000 tons. And if you're not sure how heavy that is exactly in pounds, that actually equates to 60 million pounds. So what I'm telling you is he picked up a 60 million pound building. Well, he didn't pick it up, but he stopped it from falling over, put it back in its place.
I mean, that's kind
of
heavy.
That's a little heavy. It takes a certain degree of control and strength to be able to do that.
Just a little bit of working on and you'll get there.
I mean, he's also held Bridges' main cables together for an extended amount of time, equaling to about 10,000 tons, which is still 20 million pounds.
So he's kind of strong,
what
you're saying.
He's a little strong, and he's also overpowered a pile driver machine that was made to be pushed through the planet. This was a pile driver that was made to tear through Earth, and he stopped it with his bare hands.
I'm guessing he's a little durable, too.
He's a little durable. Yes, he's got superhuman stamina, and he produces less fatigue toxins than a regular human. At his peak strength, he can exert himself for up to 24 hours before feeling any effects.
That ain't bad.
And his superhuman durability, like you said, he's taken punches from the Hulk. He's had several encounters with the Hulk to where he has lasted. I can't say that he's beaten the Hulk, but let's be fair. It's the friggin' Hulk, all right? He gets stronger. He gets angrier. The stronger, the angrier he gets. And in the beginning of the fight, there's been several battles where it has shown the Thing an equal strength as the Hulk. But of course, the more frustrated and longer the fight gets, the more frustrated the Hulk gets, the more stronger he gets, the more angrier he gets. So he usually outs the Thing. But he's been shown on several times to tank punches from the Hulk, as well as handle the Hulk longer than most.
So let's get to the point.
All right, so
The thing
is going to go after this freaking punk arsonist who's going around burning down his city.
He's not just a punk arsonist. He's a punk arsonist. He's an expert punk arsonist.
The Thing
arsonist
is going to see this punk arsonist burning down his city, and he's going to come into the defense of his city. He might still be the Thing, but he has shown several times to come back to even help out the Yancey Street Gang in different areas where he's come back making different changes in the street level. And
all right, so here's what I'm going to say first. There's no doubt in my mind that the Thing will destroy Firefly in a fight. But how much damage can Firefly do before the Thing gets to him?
Well, the thing is that... yeah, pun intended. I think as soon as he realizes that, you know, he's messing with the city, he's going to go come right after him.
He's going
to
throw shit
and
at him?
Firefly
has a jetpack, and he's going to be flying all of his shit all over the fucking place. He's pretty good at it.
Well, it's funny that you pulled up Firefly, because if you want to go to a more extreme version of Firefly in the Marvel Comics, actually happens to be Ben Grimm's best friend and teammate, I'm going to talk about Johnny Storm. And if Ben Grimm has spent years training with Johnny Storm, I think he's going to be able to handle Firefly. Firefly is a Walmart version of Johnny Storm. Johnny Storm is the Human Torch, and Firefly, it runs around with
Yeah, you're right about that.
So if anyone knows how to handle Firefly, I'd say it's Ben Grimm.
I do agree with you on that, but still, Firefly comes in, shit's going to get burnt.
I agree, shit's going to get burned, but not for long, and when the Thing shows up...
Is
Thing
going to put out a fire? Is he good at that?
That's what the New York City Fire Department's there for. But I think that the Thing is going to show up, and as soon as he does, the Fireflies put an end to his arson.
So what, do you think he's going to throw some shit at him?
I don't know. He's going to find a way to get a hold of him. He's going to throw shit at him. He can leap, he can jump. He's got, you know, he's still... He can't jump. He can't jump. He's going to find a way to get a hold of him. He's going to throw shit at him. He's going to knock his jetpack out. Do you have any idea how long the Firefly's jetpack can run for before he has to refuel it?
I'd say a decent amount. I'd have to do some more research on that. I'm sorry, but...
And how long?
He can fly for an extended amount of time.
How many buildings can he burn down before he runs out of fuel?
He's pretty good at burning down stuff, so yeah.
I would agree. But if the Thing shows up, is he going to continue to burn down things, or is he going to...
I think he's going to do a little bit of both.
I think he's going to be more focused
on
the...
And if he's attacking the Thing on the ground, there's going to be an area effect. It's not just him.
It's going to be kind of hard to avoid the big orange rocky dude trying to fuck your day up.
Maybe. So I think for now you are good, but I think I should introduce my second character.
I think it is time for you to introduce
yourself. And I'm glad you were talking about the Hulk earlier. Because my second character is none other than Thunderbolt Ross. The worst father-in-law in history, a.k.a. the Red Hulk. The Red Hulk, he's a lot like the normal Green Hulk we all know and love, but, well, he still has extreme durability and strength. But with increased anger, he doesn't get increased strength. He gets hotter. So, instead of increased strength with anger, he emits extreme heat with anger levels. The levels are not known, but he has melted sand into glass discs. Discs! Oh my god. I am terrible at my job. I barely even started.
Thunderbolt Ross and the glass dildos.
That's pretty intimidating, right?
I'd run.
We are terrible human beings. But yeah, like, so yeah.
I think we're going to have to make this podcast explicit.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. We've dropped a couple of F-bombs here and there.
Oh, I think we've dropped several. But all right, so he has a normal abilities just like the Hulk. But along with his near limitless stamina and huge amounts of strength. Yeah, like I said, increased strength means increased heat, and he'll light shit around him on fire. So I have two fire characters right now. Okay. It's not looking good. And he has ability to... He has shown the ability to absorb the power cosmic against the Silver Surfer. He's a very dangerous opponent. And since he comes from a military background, he is naturally a better fighter than the normal Green Hulk.
That's right.
And of course, the normal Green Hulk is going to beat him every single time, but it's going to take some effort. And Red Hulk, unopposed, he's going to fuck some shit up.
There was no arguing that. The Red Hulk is actually one of my favorite characters. You know, he's got, he carries that kind of intelligence and level-headedness that the regular Hulk does not.
I just wish he didn't lose his mustache when he transformed.
The Red Hulk with the mustache is even more terrifying.
I am scared of mustaches.
What?
Huh?
What?
All right. So the Red Hulk coming into the world, I think he's going to smash a few things.
Hulk smash. Hulk smash.
Red Hulk smash.
Red Hulk smash.
I think he'll just see the fight between Firefly and the Thing. He's not going to care about Firefly, to be honest. He's just going to, like, go crazy. He's got a kind of short temper. He might attack the Thing, but he's definitely going to smash the buildings.
Well, I think we agreed that the Thing is going to make short work of Firefly. The Firefly is not much in the picture at this
point. I want to say that buildings are already on fire.
Buildings are on fire, but the Firefly is no longer in the picture. And this is more of the Thing now is up against the Red Hulk. The buildings are on fire.
Do you think it'll be a good fight?
I think it'd be a great fight. I think, like I said in my previous
I wanted you to say that because a good fight is not good for their surrounding environment.
No.
It's not.
No, it's not. I mean, everything's already on fire, and things are about to get smashed.
And more things are about to be on fire, because increased anger, he emits heat.
Well, you also stated that with the more angrier that the Red Hulk gets, his strength does not increase.
He's already pretty strong.
And pretty strong is very impressive indeed, but in my previous statement, like I said, in some of the Things versus the Hulk's encounters, the Thing has been shown to hang with the Hulk in his base level strength, before he's been shown to get stronger, the more angry he's gotten. So I've got to go out and say that the Thing's going to be able to hold his own one-on-one with the Red Hulk for at least an extended amount of time. I'm not sure exactly who I can go out and say is going to...
Whatever city they're in, if they're in a city, it's just, it's not good.
The city is definitely in for some trouble. But they made minimal damage from Firefly. Before the Thing showed up, minimal. Two or three buildings. The skyscrapers are
That's not minimal.
All right.
Minimal is a fire hydrant just getting knocked over.
We can argue about this all day.
Okay, introduce your second character.
My second character. All right. So, my second character is known as an Inhuman family member, Karnak the Shatterer. Mm. And if you don't know much about Karnak, he isn't too... I mean, he doesn't have the most impressive set of skills, but he, besides strength, Karnak possesses other physical skills superior to peak humans, His metabolism grants him greater reaction times, endurance, speed, even greater than the likes of Captain America. So, Captain America is known as peak-level human. Karnak is just about up there. He's just above Captain America. Just above peak-level human.
I'm still not impressed.
I wouldn't call him peak superhuman, but he's definitely above peak human. And he's been, you know, spent years of physical and mental training. He has complete control over autonomic body functions. And for example, he's complete control over his breathing, heartbeat, bleeding, pain reaction, and his rate of healing. He doesn't have an accelerated healing factor, but he can, you know, focus on which part of his bodies he wants to heal over the others.
And this is a character that you're introducing after the Thing?
He is coming out there to assist the Thing in his fight against
the
Red Hulk.
You're saying that he's stronger than the Thing?
No. He's definitely not
stronger.
I mean,
more powerful.
No. This is a pure strategic play. Karnak is coming in because Karnak is coming in to assist the Thing because Karnak's main ability is stress point detection. And through mental discipline, he has gained a sixth sense. It's the ability to perceive the weakness either physically, psychologically, in all persons or objects around him. So, to sum it up, Karnak's main ability is to find the weak points in anything. He is going to come out there and he's going to help the Thing. It's going to be a handicap match. It's going to be Karnak and the Thing versus the Red Hulk. Karnak is going to take more of a corner stand. He's going to be
taking more of a support role.
He's going to be supporting the Thing. He's in the Thing's corner, telling the Thing where to hit Red Hulk. He's going to be guiding him.
There's
telling him
no
what he
way
needs.
You're going to be listening to corner advice in that fight.
Karnak is going to be right. He's not going to be standing off to the sides, mind you. Karnak is going to be right up there in the action. He's not going to be sitting off to the sidelines. He's not a punk. Karnak, like I said, he's just comparable as Captain America in speed and strength. He's going to be right there in the action. He's not going to be able to go one-on-one against Red Hulk by any means. But he is going to be right there in the action. He's going to be right next to the Thing. He'll be throwing punches, kicks. He's a contortionist. He's an acrobat. He's got many other abilities.
I'm still not impressed by any of this.
He's been shown to previously shatter invincible substances that were unbreakable. And he's found the stress points and weaknesses in those points and shattered them, broken them. He's been able to bend his powers to being able to see the future. I don't know how that works exactly, but it's shown. He's a contortionist. He's an extremely skilled martial artist. He has taken on multiple opponents at one time using just nothing other than martial arts. And he's even, in comparison to strength, he's been shown to be able to press one ton. So I think he's going to be able to go in there and at least hang in there with a little bit with the Hulk.
So we can already assume that Firefly is out of the picture. Firefly. So it's Red Hulk versus the Thing and Karnak. And I'm still not impressed by Karnak right now.
I'm not saying that Karnak's going to be able to beat him there with the Red Hulk, but I'm waiting on how the Red Hulk is going to be able to take out the Thing and Karnak. It's pretty much a
I think he could take out the Karnak.
I think...
Not the Karnak. Karnak.
How?
I think that just by punching him in the face really hard. He seems like to punch things. That's his signature move.
And you think that he's going to be able to get the opening shot?
I think so, yeah. He's kind of a wild child.
All right, that's up for debate. I
don't know. Right now, I think it's just the Thing versus Red Hulk right now. They're still battling out in the middle of the city.
All right, we'll leave that up to the Twitter polls. We'll leave it up for the debate to Twitter and Facebook. But I
think he's just going to get caught in the crossfire, and he's going to get hurt.
I agree. You know what? I will give you that. I will agree that if it comes down to... If the Thing gets pushed to the side for a moment and it is Karnak versus the Red Hulk, which is very possible, it's very possible.
Very likely.
Very likely. I think that the Karnak, with a direct shot from the Red Hulk, will be taken out of the picture. So
I'm not impressed by this second character at all.
Well, like I said earlier, he's more of a support character. He came in, he's going to address the weaknesses. He's going to be able to tell, you know, he's pretty much going to be the field general. He's going to be... the field general to...
Maybe he can last, really.
Yeah,
and he's
going to
play against an actual general in Thunderbolt Ross.
You're right. He is not the most durable character. I definitely think he can't tank shots from the Red Hulk.
or for anybody for that matter. I think Firefly can take him out.
No, I don't think Firefly would ever take him out. I think he would take one look at Firefly's suit and tell the thing exactly where he needed to throw the car to take out the fire. Whatever the thing is throwing in the streets, whatever he'd throw a pebble.
And those are people's cars that he's throwing.
Well, that's what insurance
is. Someone needs that to get to work.
Well,
work their 9-to-5 job.
I'd hope they'd have car insurance. All right, Blake.
This thing's being kind of a dick.
Well, yeah. Well, I think with that, I think it is no other time than to
bring in the final character.
Bring in the big guns.
The big guns. The one that really is going to destroy the world.
Well.
With no hesitation and no resistance.
Let's hear it. What do you got?
You're going to think I'm making this up. You're going to think that I picked this character on purpose. With the timing and everything. Since he just had a trailer come out the other day. I'm talking about Brawly. Made famous by the Dragon Ball Z franchise, making his debut in self-titled Brawly the Legendary Super Saiyan.
Whoa. Wrong. Wait, you saying that the movie that's about to come out is called the Legendary Super Saiyan?
No, he made his debut.
Okay. My mistake. But before you do get started, I want to specify one thing. I really hope you're not going to be arguing the Broly that's going to be coming out in the Dragon Ball Super movies, because we've only seen trailers and snippets of him. We have no idea.
I can't
idea.
Do any research on that.
Exactly.
I'm okay. doing research okay. on the Broly that I know from almost my whole life.
Okay, exactly. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was cleared out, that no Dragon Ball Super movie Broly. This is specifically the Dragon Ball Z. Technically not canon, but we're still going to use him for this point. Broly is an impressive character.
I think that's just another testament to his character. He's not canon, but people wanted him back consistently.
I mean, I would go ahead and say Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball, the entire franchise, is a very huge staple of my childhood. I can't tell you out of another show I watched more, I enjoyed more, video games, movies, TV, and Broly is my all-time favorite character. I'm so excited.
I think
excited.
That goes for a lot of people. And you shouldn't be excited about Broly getting introduced to the world, because he's just going to straight up destroy it.
I was meaning that I'm more excited about the movie coming out next month. But continue. I'm looking forward to seeing where you're going.
I'm
going to
go with the straight from the start, because that's kind of a huge deal. He was born with a power level of 10,000, which is comparable to that of King Vegeta and Bardock. Vegeta's father and Goku's father. Right when he was born, okay? And he also survived Planet Vegeta's destruction. He didn't escape, he survived it, and he also saved his father along the process. And he did that through one of his signature moves, the Powered Shell. The world is blown up around him. He got a shield around him and his father, as a baby, mind you, and just took off. Yet he has plenty of signature moves, and they are just brutal. He has the Bloody Smash, where he'll treat your body like a trampoline. The Bone Crusher is just going to be a bear hug. He also has a Eraser Cannon, Gigantic Cluster. The list goes on and on. He is a complete psycho, hell-bent on destruction. Most of his motivation comes from Goku crying next to him as a kid. He hated that guy. But him introducing the world, I'm sure someone will test his patience very quickly. Maybe even he'll see the battle between the Red Hulk and the Thing, and he might just think, I'm going to involve myself and just beat the shit out of, maybe beat the shit out of both of them. I don't care. I don't need anybody else if I have Brawly. Brawly is just going to destroy everything in his sight with ease.
I mean, is that it? I mean, are you going to, that's your argument?
Do I need anything else? He's just survived a planet getting destroyed, and he could destroy planets himself without breaking a sweat.
Well, when I'm about to introduce my third character, you're going to wish you had a lot more choices.
Oh my god.
Because my third character, and the one I was very most excited about, just listing these characters down, I wrote this character's name down and I thought to myself, you're going to need a very specific type of person to defend yourself and be able to even hold your own against this person. Because this person is none other than Professor Charles Xavier.
Oh my god.
And I am not bullshitting you. I told you when I drew those characters, I put the names into the Ziploc bag and I sealed it and I threw it in the closet, and you were right there when I drew them. I was so giddy, and you know why. You know why I was so happy when I drew this name. Because, let's be frank,
he is the most powerful psychic in all of comics.
He is the most powerful telepath in all of comics. There is no other greater.
Martian Manhunter.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I really am going to go give that one to Professor Xavier.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He is in a wheelchair, so he kind of needs that.
Yeah, Marshall Mann.
I'm being a dick right now. That was kind of a mean thing.
Yeah. What do you have against wheelchair people?
I don't. Don't insinuate that.
No, I didn't insinuate anything other than what you said.
Oh, my God.
All right. You know, Blake hates cripples. But anyways, let's move on. Some of the most impressive feats, powers Professor X has, you know, telepathic illusions. He can create realistic illusions, experiences, and make the opponents experience events that never, ever happened. You know, he can also create a telepathic cloak, making himself and others around him appear completely invisible while his opponent can experience other surroundings. He can mind link himself to his opponent, sharing thoughts and reading other thoughts, as well as overloading people's minds with what's called a mind blast, overloading them with tons of information. Brawley appears on the scene. Professor X can just overload his mind with information to the point where he couldn't focus. He couldn't think clearly. He wouldn't be able to look at the thing in the Red Hulk's fight. He's going to overload his mind with information to the point where he can't think clearly, and then he's going to do his next, one of my most favorite abilities. He's going to take over his mind. He's going to use mind possession, and you're right, he is going to go after the Hulk, because Professor X is going to make him go after the Red Hulk. He's going to take over his mind, and he's going to knock out the Red Hulk. And that's just part of what Professor X does. Mind possession is one of his main gigs. He can also create, you know, amnesia. He could make Brawley forget why the hell he's even at Earth, what he's even doing there. His power level, he can make Brawley forget about anything. He can make him think he's a plain vanilla human with absolutely no power whatsoever. And, you know, he can also, one of my favorite things Professor X does is psionic blast. He can project psionic force into the person's mind called force bolts that create zero physical effect, but the mental pain can be so much that it can knock out or even kill opponents. And if that is not enough, he can also, you know, if Brawley somehow gets a hold of him, he can, you know, Professor X has shown to be able to transfer both his mind and powers into his host body if his physical body is becoming close to being killed, permanently transferring himself into Broly's mind. And we know from those movies, and I know very much, because like I said earlier, Broly is one of my favorite all-time characters, while he is one of the most physically imposing characters in all of media, he's not the most mentally stable person. He does not have the mental
durability. He embraces durability. That, though.
Well, yeah, he does. He goes
Piccolo insane. Called him a freak, and he's like, no, I'm a devil. He's totally fine with it.
Yes, and I get that. But against someone like Professor X, he does not have the mental strength to hold his own. It is going to be like a walking through the park. It's basically going to be like possessing a baby for Professor X. All
right,
he's going to have no... And the best part about this is Professor X is mind control. He, and without even, you know, besides the fact he could just take over his mind, he can shut it down completely, and he can make time stop. He can just make Brawley stop in his tracks, the thing can walk up to Brawley, and literally punch through his chest.
Okay, alright, so now the real fun begins. We gotta take a few steps back and introduce all these characters at once. What do you think Professor Xavier's gonna do?
I definitely think Professor X is gonna sit back in the mansion, the Xavier mansion, and he's going to sit there in Cerebro, safe from the damage, safe from the fight, and he's going to one-on-one pick him off mentally. He's going to enter their minds from a safe distance all the way across the world with Cerebro's help. You know, well, let's make this fair. Professor X doesn't have Cerebro. Let's not include Cerebro.
So he's going to be there in the area where the immediate area with the fight.
I don't want to say immediate.
Just pick out where he's gonna be.
Okay, so I guess we didn't specify the battlegrounds. That's on us.
I think it's just gonna be a city.
Okay, so Professor X can be in a skyscraper watching the battle from a safe distance. You know,
all right, I'll give you that. He's gonna be in a building somewhat close.
He does not need to be face to face. These guys, let's be honest, Blake. Don't lie to yourself. These guys do not have to. These guys will not know. And the best part is, Professor X has this telepathic cloaking ability. He can be standing right in front of these guys and masking himself, and he could be making the.
That's not really a good thing either, though.
Well, how are they going to know?
The immediate area around this fight is going to be destroyed very quickly.
Well, I think the Thing is going to be coming in to minimize that damage first. The Thing and Karnak are going to be there as a distraction. I don't want to use distraction. I think they're going to be there to minimize the damage.
Karnak is a distraction to Brawley.
Well, okay, let's be honest. But I think they're going to be there to minimize the damage while Professor X does all the heavy work. And I really don't see a way that, you know, Professor X can cloak himself. He can, he's not stupid enough. He's a goddamn professor. He's a genius. He's got genius level.
Yeah, I know he's a genius.
He's not going to get right up in there. He's going to stay back from a safe distance to where he can still manage to fight. He's going to enter. You know, he can enter the Red Hulk's mind, punch out Broly. You
got to realize that it doesn't matter if you're in the same state as Broly or the state over, you still might feel some of his effects.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to set off explosions for everybody to enjoy.
But you got to also realize that Professor X has a certain sensory ability to where he can pick up mind waves from other people that have sending off.
He's got to stop Broly before he sets off his first explosion.
And I think he can. As soon as he senses that Broly, that superhuman spike, the superhuman wave spike from his brain waves, because Professor X can do that. He can read other people's brain waves.
To take a step back and introduce all the characters at once, but it's still going back to Professor X might be taking down Broly immediately.
Well, I think he's going to take down everyone immediately. Once they prove themselves to be a threat beyond the thing incarnate.
Doesn't he have to be within eyesight of them?
No, not within eyesight. It does. I mean,
he doesn't have Cerebro.
You're right. He doesn't have Cerebro. It's within an extended range. It's not. It's a ranged attack. It is a ranged attack.
Is he just sensing like something over there?
I don't know. It's an audio show.
They don't really see what I just did.
I don't know the exact radius.
It's an audio visual. I'm also flipping you off right now.
Oh, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Rude.
I'm introducing villains in the world. How do you think? You want me to be polite about it?
No, I think that's fitting because you're a dick.
I am a dick.
Yeah, it's perfect.
glass dicks.
Glass dicks. Dildo and General Ross.
Yeah, you forgot about that factor, didn't you?
Yeah, General Ross. That's right. You know, General Ross and his glass dildo is just...
I don't know. I'm kind of disagreeing with you right now. I'm not sure if Professor Xavier is going to be enough. Before some major... He will stop them. I'll agree with you on that. But I think some major damage to the whole world is going to happen. As in a giant fucking crater.
Okay, well, let's go back for a minute and think about some of the people that Professor X has gone up against. Juggernaut. Juggernaut's literally the embodiment of destructive force in the Marvel Comics.
He is a very underrated character, I'll give you that.
And he happens to be Professor X's stepbrother. I don't know if you knew that. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
So, that's right. We had our second game. For episode 2, we've played, and we'll talk more about that later. We'll
talk about that later.
We'll keep that for the episode 2. But, you know, Professor X has stopped some pretty destructive people. You know, he's gone up against the likes of Apocalypse.
It's debatable if Apocalypse is on the level of Broly.
You're right. I would agree that is definitely up for debate when it comes to brute force. I definitely would give it to Broly.
It's just that Broly is just like, he's a planet destroyer without effort. A lot of the Saiyans are. Yep. That's their fucking job.
That's their shtick. I get it.
Without effort.
And you're right, without
effort. And Broly is one of the best ones.
And, yeah, I agree, but without the effort, I think with just mere minimal concentration, Professor X is going to look at Broly. Just looking at that guy, you realize, oh shit, this guy means business. He's not here for cupcakes and ice cream. You know, he's here to fuck shit up.
You don't know that.
Well, you're right. Technically.
You can be a disguise. You can easily... Broly.
And you never know. In the canon movie, you know, the canon movie, he might really like cupcakes.
I haven't seen it yet.
We haven't
seen it. December 14th. Oh, so excited. So do you want to get back to Professor Xavier failing the world?
I think we should get back to Professor Xavier thwarting your nefarious plans, as I previously stated. I think, honestly, Blake, I think we could sit here and argue about this till the sun goes down.
I want to argue a little bit more. So, all right, let's break it down. Firefly... No, we're introducing all the characters at once. That's what I go back to.
Okay.
Firefly, Red Hook, and Broly. And then The Thing, Karnak, and Professor Xavier. What's going to happen immediately?
Okay, so obviously Firefly's going to be flying around lighting shit on fire. Red Hulk is going to be on the ground just smashing shit. Broly's going to be running around blowing shit up.
Smashing shit, blowing shit up.
Okay.
Whatever he wants to do.
The Thing and Karnak are going to be the foot soldiers. They're going to go in there, and like I previously
you
stated...
You could have had better foot soldiers, but I don't think I think this is a losing fight for them.
Well, they're...
The Thing will barely be able to hold them back. No, I don't think he'll be able to hold them back.
You know what? I think he's going to slow them down, because you got to forget, the Thing is not his most important feet is not his strength. It's his durability. The thing is going to be able to go in there and take a beating. And something I did not touch on from the thing is his fight with the champion of the universe. Okay.
Yeah, he did pretty
okay, good. Okay, it was basically an MMA match where the thing took a friggin' beating. He got clobbered on. You know, the thing's main thing is clobbering time. Well, the thing got clobbered on by the champion of the universe. But the champion stated, he actually stated, and quote, "I could break every bone in his body, but I could never break his soul. So I forfeit." He gave up because he could just beat on the thing and the thing would keep coming back at him. So my argument in this fight is that Karnak is going to guide the thing. He's going to tell the thing what he needs to do. The thing is going to go in there and he's going to fight until he cannot fight anymore. And that is going to be plenty of time for Professor Xavier to sit back, realize the threat, and shut it down with his mind powers. Mind control, whatever the hell you want to call it.
All right, so what I need to say is that I don't think Karnak is going to last long at all. I think he's going to get caught in the crossfire.
No, you're right.
I don't care how aware of the surroundings he is. I don't think he'll last long at all. He might be able to guide things just a little bit for maybe like a minute or so, but that's it.
Well, I think you're cutting Karnak a little short because, you know, I did state he was stronger than Captain America, faster than Captain America, reflexes and endurance greater than Captain America.
You could have brought in Captain America to this. I still would be saying the same thing, you know, even with the shield.
And I agree 100% that Karnak would not be good against any of these guys, well, except for the exception of Firefly. I think it would take Firefly out one-on-one. But he is not a one-on-one fighter.
There's going to be explosions happening very soon, as soon as this whole shindig starts.
And Karnak, just in order to provide the most effective possible outcome for Karnak, all he has to do is provide the weaknesses to the thing. He's just got to tell the thing what he needs to hit, and then Karnak can be done. He can walk away and provide all the help he did. He wouldn't be much of a help besides maybe taking out Firefly. All
right, so Alright, so when it comes to weaknesses for... I'm not going to get into Firefly. I'm pretty sure he's going to be done pretty quickly. But for Red Hulk and Broly, you kind of just have to beat them down. And the thing is not going to be able to do that right away. It's going to take quite a bit of effort if he can do it.
Well, that's not what I'm arguing now, is it? I'm arguing that the thing is going to be able to take a beating long enough for Professor Xavier to stand back from afar.
Alright, that is a good point.
He is going to be able to hang in there, and Broly might be able to finish him off. But as soon as Professor X sees what Broly can do, Professor X is going directly for Broly. He's aware of General Ross. He knows what he's capable of. I don't think that he's going to be able to take out the thing as quick as Broly will be able to. So as soon as Professor X sees what Broly is capable of, I think Broly is going to be numero uno target for Professor X, and I think that is going to be the deciding factor.
I think the deciding argument, or whatever you want to call it, is if Professor Xavier takes down Broly in time before he sets off a big enough explosion to destroy the world.
You're right.
Can you agree with that?
You're right.
Can he do it?
Without a doubt. I think because you got to...
You can't just ignore the Red Hulk.
No, you're not. And the thing is going to take care of that. But the first...
You can take care of that easily. Oh,
not,
my.
Not easily. I didn't say easily. I did not say easily.
No, just brush him off.
No, I didn't.
It's going to be an all-out brawl.
Exactly. And the thing can handle it. That's where I'm trying to get at, is the thing can handle it. And the first flash of that destructive power...
Do you think the Red Hulk is going to get a little irritated during this fight?
Yeah, I do.
So he's setting his surrounding area on fire. There's another area effect that you're dealing with right now.
Right, but like I also said, Professor X is not going to be right there. Blake, we can go back and forth on this all day. I think now is the time we need to go ahead and call this to an end and leave this up to the fans.
I don't like you.
I don't like you much either, but we're doing this. And I definitely think this is the point where we have to go ahead and, you know, ask the people with Twitter and Facebook what their opinion is. We're going to go ahead and, like I said, post a poll. We're going to ask people on Facebook to go ahead and leave their comments, telling us what they think, how this would all end out. You know, feel free to interject anything you don't think we brought up, you know, with...
Oh, please argue with me. I'm not very good with my knowledge. I'm above average at best, but please argue with me.
Blake likes to argue. Do not...
I might be wrong, but I don't care.
Yeah, do not feed the animals. Do not stick your hands in the cages.
Don't feed the trolls.
Please do not feed the trolls.
The troll is me.
Pay the toll.
That's an obscure reference.
It's an obscure inside joke. But before we do close out our very first episode, Blake, I wanted to thank you personally very much for everything. We've overcome a lot of different difficulties, you know, from planning this all in the Middle East, you know, Blake being on deployment in the Middle East, like we, you know, stated earlier.
You give me too much credit.
Well, Blake, honestly, you know, I got to give you all the credit. You know, you dealt with, you know, in the middle of purchasing all of this equipment, you dealt with the identity fraud.
$1,200
is a lot of money.
Quite
a bit of money. In the process
that kind
of
sucked.
In the middle of buying all of this, you know, funding all this entire project.
Yeah, fuck whoever did that to me. I got the money back, but it sucked.
Yeah, that was a dick move, dude. If you're listening out there, not cool. Not cool.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to torch the world.
Yeah, Blake's over here trying to fuck shit up, and you're over here
and
trying to...
And I care about identity fraud.
Ruining his bank account. All right, well, I guess that's it for today, in the very first episode. Thank you all for listening, and please give us your feedback, and we will see you next time. Thank you very much, and
bye
have
bye.
A good one.
Have a good time.